The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
You're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport. Wellness.
Don't change that dial. We can change the world. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air. And I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and Dr. John Palmer isn't with us today. He's at a conference. We're going to miss him, and we're here to tell you, we love Jesus. And we got some show for you, so stay where you are.
Jesus wants to show the way.
And that's Al Barbarino who's singing our theme song. And why don't we talk a little bit about what our show's going to be about? It's going to be about connecting the dots. Connecting the dots to all the agencies that are involved with our Catholic community. And so for a guest we got, let you introduce him. Your name, please.
Good morning, Anthony. I'm Marion Dreyfus, and I'm a volunteer Catholic Ministries Appeal guest speaker for the Diocese of Rockville Center.
And so welcome. Glad to have you. And your name, please.
And I am Rosemary McTeague. I'm also a volunteer. I'm a chair for the Catholic Ministries Appeal for the parish.
And so what we're going to talk about, as you probably guessed, is the diocesan Catholic Ministries Appeal. But it's not just an appeal. It's not just for money. It's for allowing the continuation to do the good work that the diocese does through other agencies like Catholic Charities and etc. So, Mary, why don't you just tell us quickly a little bit about the appeal?
The appeal to me is a means to do the good work of ministry throughout Long Island. It's a venue to be able to help people in need, to do new evangelization, to educate our priests, our lay people, to help our children in their faith formation. It's a charity with unending possibilities to change someone's life.
Beautifully said. You know what? I'd like to lay the groundwork. Trevor, can we play the first song? That's number two. This is going to lay the groundwork.
Ask his mama, how many will this be? She just smiled, and when she told him 10, he reached back in again. What if I give all I have? What will that gift do? My child, a gift like change the world, it could feed a multitude. He didn't close his eyes or turn away. I can see him standing tall. He saw the need, and I can hear him say, dollars could have
special toy. But he reminds me of another little boy who gave to Jesus a gift of fish and bread. I wonder if he said, my child, a gift like that could change the world, could feed a multitude. He didn't close his eyes or turn away. I can see him standing tall. He saw the need.
We need a minute, listeners, to compose ourselves. We all got tears in our eyes over here. And we want to thank Joan for selecting the music for today's show. Oh, so, Joan, absolutely. Thank you so much. That was a great opening. So, let's compose ourselves. Let's get to the nitty-gritty of this appeal. Marion, Rosemary, you gals are unbelievable. You give so much time, so much effort, so much work to this thing. It's not just an appeal just to collect money, but this money goes to work. It works. It connects the dots. Can you tell us, just Mary, can you tell us first, and then Rosemary, can you tell us, how is it connecting the dots, and how is it changing the world, like the song says?
Oh, in so many ways, Anthony. For an example, the seminarians that are in our seminary are touched and supported by the gifts that you give. And how often can we say, when we're at Mass and we hear a homily, that our priest touches our heart? So it touches the seminarians in their education, our deacons, lay people. Myself went to Pastoral Formation Institute, and it supports the efforts of the education and formation of adults. Our Catholic schools, our high schools here on Long Island, the children are supported. Their faith, they're our future.
Catholic ministries, through the ministry appeal, even campus college campus ministry offices bring in lots of children who are kind of floundering. Maybe they're far from home, or they're lonesome, or maybe they've fallen away from their faith. And there'll be a good ministry leader there and, you know, have invitations posted to come. And in the end, these people wind up help serving. They do, they make sandwiches and distribute to the poor. They reflect on passages from the Bible, and they just form their own community, and they come back to the church. So it really helps many, many people. The appeal also, people need to know that the church always helps those in need. And so through the Catholic Ministries appeal, people who have suffered through Superstorm Sandy, through the earthquakes, through tsunamis, we are always asking to help, and the church is always the first responder. So there are just so many, many things that the Ministries Appeal does.
So it's just not giving a donation and then worrying what's going to happen with that donation, or is it going to be wasted? It's going to go to work. It's going to connect, as I said, connect the dots to a lot of different things. Isn't Catholic Charities involved? And how is it involved, Catholic Charities?
Catholic Charities is one of the largest charitable organizations here on Long Island. And through Catholic Ministries Appeal, we support all the good works of Catholic Charities, bringing Meals on Wheels, people, food, the elderly. They assist in finding senior citizen housing for individuals. They have dozens of senior citizen centers where they have day programs for our senior citizens. And if we think about all the good things that our seniors do for us, it's a way for us to help and give back to our seniors. There are a number of different places that help house those that may have challenges, whether they're mental or emotional or physical challenges. They help so many, hundreds of thousands of people. I met one woman. If you don't mind, Anthony, I'll share a little story.
I would love it.
A one woman who was challenged, and she lived with her mother, and she was in her 40s. And I met her through Catholic Charities, the work that I do in traveling around. She was very dependent on her mother, totally. And it was through Catholic Charities and the Catholic Ministry Appeal that she was able to find housing. And when her mother passed away, she had established a community for herself. And to this day, you can hear her speak about how Catholic Ministries and Catholic Charities made such a difference for her and in her life. And her brother speaks so highly of it that it touches you. The same way that song got to me, "What if I give all? In giving we receive."
Absolutely, and you know what? I was reading this book while I was talking, and I was drawn to Corinthians, and it says, it was this Corinthians 9:7, says every man according as he purports in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And I think that's so
perfect,
apropos
perfect.
To the work that you guys, I mean, you gals are doing. I got two beautiful blonde ladies sitting in front of me over here. So, but I, and it's just the giving. It's just, I mean, it's money that's not, that doesn't get lost in the shuffle, so to speak. It's all accounted for.
Oh, it's absolutely
all spread out, isn't it?
It's 100% goes directly to these ministries and to support and make a difference. I think it's one of the simplest ways of giving. We wonder, how do we give back to God? I think to myself, what can I do to help the church. I can relate to the fact that my mother, God bless her, a long time ago said to me, and then repeated it again when she was in hospice, use all the gifts that God gives you and make a difference for somebody. And that is what happens through Catholic Ministries Appeal. Your gift makes a difference in someone's life. To touch the person, the woman, to touch Dory, who is in College Campus, as Rosemary talked about. She shared a story that she was so lonely when she first went to college. We don't think about this. If we go back and think about our life at college, she was very lonely. And she stumbled upon Catholic Ministries Appeal. Because she was thinking about a Saturday night, it would have been 5 o'clock, and she was sitting in the dorm. And normally she would be going to Mass with her mother and father and her sister and brother, but she wasn't doing that. And she found campus ministry at a local college here, Adelphi. And she had a greater sense. She started doing service projects. She ended up becoming an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion. She had a greater sense. She said she felt closer to God because of the ministry and her involvement. And then it's kind of like the old commercial where you tell somebody and somebody tells somebody. She then had more
Now,
young
you two,
people.
You two guys are out there in the field, kicking the tires, so to speak. you're doing talks at parishes. Rosemary does talks at the parish. I hear her every Sunday. You go around to the whole diocese and give talks. You're a volunteer for the diocese, and you're talking about this appeal, this Catholic Ministries appeal that goes on for a whole year. How are the parishes now? Like, I belong to a parish, and you go into the parishes. Can you explain to the listeners how the parishes are helped through this appeal? I mean, it's like not just giving a donation to the diocese. What happens? There's something that goes on with this thing. Got either Rosemary or
every parish has a goal, and once you reach that goal, you will receive back from the diocese a portion of those funds raised. And when you go over your goal, you get a greater portion. You would get 80% of every dollar back to the parish. And the pastor can decide how that money is to be used for the benefit of the parish. So a couple of years ago, the rebate that came to our parish went to help the youth go to World Youth Day, which is a fantastic opportunity for them. And it lets them become richer in their faith, and they have wonderful experiences. There are many needs in a parish, outreach. There are so many people in need, even now, more than ever. So the monies can be used to help those people pay bills, help with a mortgage, help with a utility bill, maybe a medical bill. So the parish benefits all around, you know.
So this money that's given doesn't just go to the diocese.
No.
It revolves back to the parishes, and it helps the parishes in so many different ways. I know one parish used the money to send the youth to the youth fair in
World Youth Day.
Mm-hmm. Another parish is using the money. I was thinking about using the money so that they could cut down in the collections that people give. So in so many ways, the money reverts back to the giver.
It absolutely. Because you think about it, you don't think, sitting in the pew, you don't think when you hear us speak.
Yes.
That it really is for you.
Looking for another dollar.
Exactly.
But it's not. It's going to revert back to the parish and to the parishioners.
Oh, sure. Because even in the local parish, many of them have faith formation or what we would call religious education, or some of us might have known it as CCD. There's mm-hmm. a lot of children that are being formed in their faith that are touched because the diocese provides formation, provides support for the catechists. Mm-hmm. So if you have catechists, they're touched by Catholic Ministries Appeal, who in turn those catechists touch our children, your grandchildren, and they're the future of our church.
They're the future of our country and our church. And there again, you know, I'm getting a clear, I have to tell you, I'm asking these questions for a reason, because I was a jerk. I didn't know anything about this stuff. I didn't know anything about this stuff. All I heard was another bid for a donation, another bid to give a few bucks, a lot. And then all of a sudden, I'm starting to realize that this money connects the dots and reverts back. And it's what Jesus told us to do.
It reaches out, to so many. There are programs, Anthony, for young women who have had abortions, and it helps them to deal with that situation. There are homes that help unwed mothers to have their children, you know, and to support them in raising them to a certain point so that they could, maybe they have to finish their high school education and then be able to get out into the work area, you know, but to become responsible parents. So there's lots of support for everyone. People who are addicted, there are programs to help them get, you know, to recover, to get off drugs or whatever it is. So it reaches out to the young, it reaches out to the old, as Marion said, senior citizens programs and housing, helps them in housing. So there's so much
I know
work.
You guys were looking at so me much. When you said it reaches out to the old.
The old.
I don't know.
I'm no. right with you, Anthony.
They actually do, and I love statistics, they keep statistics on this, and it actually touches over directly 600,000 people here
wow.
on Long Island. I mean, even when you think about it, and that's just the direct. In our parish and your parish, we are touched, and we don't realize we're touched.
Let me ask you a difficult question. I don't think you have the answer, to be honest with you. What percentage of the contributions go back into circulation?
From Catholic Charities?
From Catholic Ministries Appeal? Yeah.
All of it.
100%?
All of it.
100%
directly to
back into
the ministries and the good work of the Catholic Church, and that's what keeps...
Whoa. Are you for real?
No,
that's
I am
amazing.
For real. I asked that question
Did
myself.
You? That is amazing, because, actually, if you really want to know the truth, before I give to a charity, I always ask what percentage is going into the charity and what percentage is going into the expenses, into the salaries. And I also ask for a financial statement. I hate to say that, but I do.
Oh, no, I do that myself.
But that's 100% reverts
yeah,
back?
It goes back to, it does, it helps do the work of the Catholic Church, the good ministry work. Everybody in their parish can relate to different ministry work. Somehow, some way, I keep going back to that song because I want to get that song. It does change. It does change the world, one by one, one person by one person.
So I could say safely, if I want to talk about the ministry's appeal, I could say, hey, you know what? 100% of that money goes to the charities, and a portion gets reverted back to the parish, and
absolutely,
and a portion gets reverted back to your pockets, because when they're looking for collections, when the parish is looking for collections, they're not going to be looking that much to the parish, because it came to them through the Catholic ministries. Is that
well, if you, I would say, if every person gave $1 and you think that there's millions of people in this world, and everybody gave part of their treasure, the world would not only be a better place, we'd all be
absolutely
helping one another. I mean, that's, isn't that what it really is?
I want to divert a little bit.
Okay.
I want to talk about you guys. I'm so impressed with the amount of time you both put into this ministry's appeal, the devotion that you have. I mean, I see you sitting there, and I see you going around. I see you talk. You both great talkers, by the way. and I'm saying to myself, God bless them. I mean, like, they're giving up their home life, and they're giving up so many things to do the work for Jesus, for this appeal to. And, you know, Jesus says, you know, there's a rubric I use when I want to guide people. I call it the Jesus rubric. And I say to myself, what have they done for the hungry? When I want to evaluate people, what have they done for the poor? What have they done for the naked? What have they done for the children? And what have they done for Jesus? And those are the rubric that I use to sort of, like, you know, judge people somewhat. Although I shouldn't, but I do. When I use that rubric on you guys, I'm so impressed with the work that you do, the time that you do, and how you're trying to help out so many people. Were you always like that, Mary? Were you always like that since a child? How did you become so involved with all this stuff?
No, as a child, I was blessed to have a mother that had great quiet strength. And when I was a child, I went through Catholic school, and we did a lot of praying together. She taught me how to say the rosary, and we'd do novenas. And I felt very close to Jesus. I always did because of my mother. But then, like a lot of people, I grew up, and I, in my early 20s, had a very party-like life. And maybe strayed a little bit from Mass and mm-hmm. church. And then there was some issues in the family. And for some reason, one day I was like, there's something missing and I have to go back. I didn't feel complete. And I went back to Mass, and ever since I've been there. And really felt more love than I ever did before.
Yes.
And then there was a point where I had a cousin who died entirely too early. And I used to weep at Mass. And a wonderful, wonderful pastor said, Marian, it's just the angels trying to help you. And remember that Jesus is always with you.
So, absolutely. Absolutely. How about you, Rosemary?
Well, I guess I can remember from early on, you know, in school, I guess we would go to Mass the first Friday of the month, you know, but I went weekly with my family. I don't know. I guess I always felt that Jesus was a part of me. And as I grew, during the summers off as a young girl in grammar school, yet I would get up in the mornings and go to Mass while everybody was sleeping mm-hmm. in the house, mm-hmm. you know. It's just something I always felt a need to do. And in high school, you know, I would do the same. I would get to Mass before class and join groups, adoration groups, and I just loved it. It just felt right, you know. Mm-hmm. But when I went to work, I continued going to Mass because I was always early, and I had more than enough time to go to Mass and breakfast. So I did that, you know. And then when I got married, I guess that was okay until I had my child, my first child. And life changes, you know. So, right. You're not able to do certain things. But we always went on the weekends and to special, anything special, I would go. You know? But I just love it. And when you go often enough, becomes such a part of you that if you're not there one day, you really feel
something's wrong.
Absolutely.
You miss it. And you're not, it's not the same.
So you're both doing Jesus' work by serving, right? Like Jesus. And by the way, Trevor, can we play on a second disc, number 7? This marries you guys. This was selected by Joan also.
Joan does such good work.
The disciples were assembled in the upper room. They didn't know that Jesus would be leaving very soon. They talked about his kingdom as they read it for the feast. Who would be the greatest and who would be the least? And one said, if there's a greatest, I hope I'm the one. Others talked of miracles that they had seen or done. No one noticed Jesus as he rose up from his seat. Till he knelt before them and began to wash their feet. I back in our place. For though we're called to minister and do miracles in his name, remember when you're sent by him, the reason that he came.
Thanks, Joan. That's got us crying too. And so doesn't the song say it all? And you should serve
too.
Right? I come to serve and you should serve. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. And God bless you two gals that you are serving the way you are. I have to tell you, I'm impressed with your dedication. I'm impressed with your stick-to-itness, that you don't give up on it, and that you're there every Sunday, you know, and sitting there and talking to the parishioners. It's You're serving, babies. You're serving.
And that's really part of the, when you hear any of us talk or you read any of the materials, it is serve God by serving others.
Yeah. And that's how you serve Jesus. And he's, you know what Jesus is? I don't know if you know, I write books. And I wrote a book on leadership. And then I did some research. But I discovered that Jesus set the tone for what they call servant leadership. He's
absolutely
a leader, but he's come to serve, and he cares about the people that he leads. And that's what servant leadership is all about. And I just discovered that when I wrote the book. I never knew, you know, and I said, oh my God, yeah. Servant leadership, that's Jesus. That's Moses. That's a lot of people. So anyway, I'm so
Anthony,
impressed.
People have to know that it's up to them to contribute so that we can serve others.
Yes.
That the ministry can do the work and support all these programs that are so vital to the diocese. So, you know, when your parish asks you to contribute to Catholic Ministries Appeal, you have to really soul search and consider that these are programs that are necessary. We have to help our brothers and sisters in need. And I was just thinking while listening to this beautiful song that, and I might do this, I mean, we give to the Ministries Appeal, but I think I'm going to get myself one of my empty pretzel jars and put CMA on it. And if I throw a dollar a day in there, that's $365
wow.
a year.
You hear that, listeners?
That would be extra to throw in.
What an idea.
You know,
listeners,
because, yeah.
Let's do it. Come on, guys and gals. Come on, let's do it. The first one that fills up the jar, call me. I want to have you on
that
the show.
That would be excellent.
Call me. Okay. The first one, first listener that fills up the jar.
Yeah, it seems so simple because we,
what an
we
idea.
Hand out money for so many different things and you have so much change and, you know, so.
Oh, even your change will add up.
Your change, too. But a dollar a day that, you know.
Joni, get the jars out. Let's start. Okay?
So I encourage everyone
great
to try it.
Rosemary,
yeah.
That, you know what? We ought to call it the Rosemary and Marion jar. It's a great idea. Good. And that's what it's all about.
I hope it works.
I don't want to change the subject, but we do a feature on the show. We a saint every week. We feature a saint. But before that, you know, we have a little feature we just started. We call it a two-minute scriptural reflection. And it's given to us by one of our dear listeners who we love and who is really very close to us. But he gives it to us and just out of his heart, and he's not looking for any gratitude, not looking for any accolades or anything like that. And he says not to mention his name. So let's go into that reflection. And I'm going to ask Rosemary to read it, because she's such an elegant reader, and so is Marion, an elegant reader. So I left it up to them who was going to do it. But of course, you know, I'm from Brooklyn. I'm not that elegant. But Rosemary, let's hear that reflection.
Okay. In John's Gospel, chapter 11, Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" How often in life we claim to be disappointed, upset, or left to question by God. Upon closer examination, we may find the reason for such sentiments may have to do with Jesus' question quoted above. We will always see the glory of God if we believe, truly believe. Often we settle for an understanding of belief that is immature. This means we believe in God as long as we have no problems or difficulties in life. As soon as there are troubles, we act in more a manner that shows a distance or a lack of understanding of God. We do not believe. Do you need signs or miracles in order to believe? Then again, there is the sign of the cross. How can we not believe when we see crucified in our place the one who is sinless, who is God, Jesus the Christ. May these days of Passiontide encourage us to have a deeper faith, true faith, as Jesus calls us in the gospel.
That was very good. Thank you, Rosemary. Jesus is calling us through the gospel, and Jesus is talking to us, and we really need to be diligent and listening to Jesus. And, you know, we never know when Jesus calls us, and blessed are those that respond, like Marion and Rosemary, because Jesus called his disciples. And so we're doing a little feature for Lent to study a little bit about the disciples. It's a very interesting study. And I just want to mention, you know, as you mentioned in the second song, not intentionally, but it was, but it's a good thing to bring out that, you know, when he called disciples, he, first of all, he didn't pick out the most intelligent. He didn't pick out the lawyers. He didn't pick out the leaders. He didn't pick out the governors. He picked out, what, four fishermen? Some married people. A tax collector. No one that we would say, like, oh, this guy's changing the world. No, they were normal, regular people that he chose, and that's what he does with us. He chooses us to do his work. I don't see him picking presidents and emperors to do his work that I know of. He's picking us, his brothers and sisters, to do the work.
Everyday people.
Everyday people. And so one of them that he picked, besides the fishermen, but in that society of the 12 disciples that he picked, it's very interesting to study, because it shows that even within that little clique, there was a struggle for recognition by the disciples, a struggle for who was going to be sitting on his right-hand side, who was going to sit on his left-hand side, a struggle that who was going to be part of the inner circle. But it was just a humanistic thing, but Jesus treated all his disciples fairly and equally. He did have an inner circle, but irregardless, every disciple he loved immensely. And one of those disciples that he loved was St. Matthew. So who was this guy, St. Matthew? There's a gospels written that he wrote, and he's mentioned several times, and he's wrote books for the readings, but who was he? He was a tax collector. Now think about it. He was a tax collector that was one of you guys, one of us. He was part of us. How would you feel if all of a sudden you were living nice in your country, and all of a sudden the country's taken over by another a dictatorship, and that dictatorship changes things around and imposes taxes on you, heavy taxes on you, taxes to support the army, taxes to support the non-religious operations of the new government. And they appoint one of you guys to collect those taxes. Would you be happy with them? So just suppose for years your family lived in the same land. It's your country, your homeland. And then without warning, this foreign army takes over and the soldiers are everywhere. And they're issuing orders and seizing food and property, taking your stuff and taking your home. And your country is just about gone. They demand money, taxes, and they appoint one of us, one of you guys, to collect the taxes. Many people were sure that these tax collectors that were appointed were charging more than they should have. And they were crooks. And they charged more and they kept more. So unpopular was the tax men that were appointed, that the local people thought that they and their houses were dirty and that you should never go near the tax collector's house and avoid it like the plague. And you shouldn't visit anywhere or anybody that's related to this tax collector. There was one such collector in the town on the northwest coast of the Sea of Galilee, not far from where Andrew and Simon and James and John had been fishermen. His name was Levi. He heard about the new preacher and healer and got a little interested in Jesus. He was curious. So when Jesus came past with his usual crowd of followers and people eager to see what he's doing and what he's done, and when Jesus came close to Levi, the tax collector, the boot where he was working, collecting the money, all he said to Levi, "Follow me." And guess what? This guy got up. He left all the money he collected, left the boot, and amazingly, that's what Levi did. He followed Jesus. He just left the boot, left his valuable job. He had a good income. He had a good job. He had security at that job, I can tell you that. And he followed Jesus. Plenty of the crowd thought this was extraordinary. Not because Levi had given up the chance of wealth, but because Jesus wanted such a person to be among his followers. Why? Why would he want them? Why? But Jesus says, "I didn't come just to save good people. I came to save everyone, and I came to help everyone." And so Levi became Matthew, a faithful servant of Jesus. Later, there was a supper at a tax collector's house. May have been Levi's house, no one really knows, and several taxmen were there, and so was Jesus and his close friends. This caused a lot of gossip. What sort of person would want to be seen with a terrible people like the tax collectors? Why does Jesus want to eat in the house of a man who's betrayed his own country by working for the enemy? Jesus said to them, "Those who are healthy don't need a doctor." By this he meant he had come to save the wrongdoers, the ones most in need of his help. And so maybe he felt that he would be saving Matthew by calling him over and having him become part of his disciples. Jesus gave Levi a new name to mark the start of his new life, and it was a new life for him. He named him Matthew, which means gift from God, and it was a gift for him. And Matthew became one of the 12 closest followers. Matthew stayed with Jesus throughout the rest of the time that Jesus spent journeying around the country, and he was with him on his last journey to Jerusalem. We're not sure what really happened to Matthew. We know he was martyred after the gospel. And he says that Jesus returned to him when he said Jesus returned to heaven. Many people believed that he journeyed far away, possibly to Ethiopia, modern-day Iran. And in order to baptize people and to teach people, he meant that Jesus was with them always until the end of time. And so a man that was so involved with the money and with the good things of life was willing to give it up by two words from Jesus: "Follow me." And so he became part of his disciples. And that's the entry of another disciple in Jesus' pack. So stay tuned and we'll have the rest as we go along.
That's great.
Okay, very so nice. Anyway, again, I equate Matthew to what you guys are doing, the sacrifices that you guys are making, how you're willing to follow Jesus and to give up mostly everything that you were doing and your personal lives and everything else, and how I'm sure Jesus is so pleased and so happy that his don't forget, his church started with 12 disciples. And now look at it. Look at it throughout the world. And you guys and gals are part of that discipleship. So anyway, I thought I'd just mention that. what's the plan? What future do you see in this endeavor? I mean, is it just going to go on like this? I mean, how is it going to grow? Or is it going to grow?
I think, and we can relate to Matthew or any of the, if you think about the original 12, it does go on. It might not go on the same way, but it always goes on. The simple words of follow me, we're all different kinds of people, and there's different needs, the hungry, the poor, how we communicate, what we look like, how we do different things for Jesus. Rosemary goes to Mass every day. I was sharing earlier on our way here that I get on the computer first thing, but I use the technology of the computer to bring me closer to Jesus through different meditative prayer. And
excellent
and
point.
So does it go on? There'll probably always be, in my mind, this is my own opinion, a need, because there's always somebody there. And that was what I believe is so wonderful and so easy to follow Jesus, because he looked at every single person. And if we think about it, he's in each one of us.
Absolutely. If we allow him to be in each one of us,
yes.
We have to allow him.
But we also have to allow ourselves to see him in others.
Absolutely.
Now, so that there is need, and there's always somebody is always broken some way.
Now, Rosemary and Marion, let me ask you another question. Do you have to say something?
Well,
say,
I just wanted to say the need will go on, you know, because there's always someone in need. But the Catholic Ministries appeal will definitely continue. You know, it's just going to grow and grow because with people, with the needs. And so people need to come to terms with it and realize that this is an ongoing thing. And every year there's a need to recommit to give so that the diocese can support all these very important ministries.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because ministry means serve to serve.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what the meaning behind the word is. So there'll always be someone to serve.
Now, let me ask you a question. That leads to a question that I had that's been bothering me. Besides contribute money, what can we as good stewards do to help this great worthy cause?
Prayer. Prayer is so important. That would be first. Pray for this ministry. And then talk about it. You know, give it the good do that it needs. You know, say the good works that are being done. Make people aware of these different ministries that are available. And you don't have to be Catholic. The church helps everyone. It doesn't
good point.
Matter.
Excellent.
Yeah. It
doesn't
excellent
matter. Point.
Yeah.
Excellent
and,
point.
You know, so you really have to talk about it and make people aware of it. That's the whole thing, I think.
We only got 5 minutes left here, believe it or not. And this thing,
this did go fast,
and the Holy Spirit did bring us through this whole thing. I do want to take a minute to pray for our listeners and to pray for our petitions, if that's okay.
Sure.
So maybe we can hold hands.
Mm-hmm.
And so, dear Jesus, we thank you so much. We thank you and we give you praise and glory. We thank you for, oh my God, we thank you for Marion. We thank you for Rosemary. Thank you for the work that they're doing, and thank you for bringing them to us at this radio show. And we ask that you bless our listeners and you let them know that you are not only their best friend, but you really are their big brother, and that you would be with them always. Our listeners love you, otherwise they wouldn't be listening. And so we ask that you bless them. And we also ask that you bless the petitions that we have in front of us. There are people that are hurting. There are people that are depressed. There are people that have cancer. There are people that are out of work. There are people that need help so bad. And we just lift up those petitions to you, Jesus. And we ask that you respond to them. And you let them know that, yeah, you're hurting. Yeah, you're depressed. But yes, you're there with them. Let them know you're there, Jesus, please. And so we give you praise and glory and thanks. And we just thank you for this radio show and thank you for this day today and for sending Marion and Rosemary to us. We give you so much thanks and praise and glory. And so maybe, Marion, do you want to say anything? Or Rosemary?
We want to thank you, Anthony.
What for?
For voice. Because ministry is part of your work and being a voice of Jesus to all of us.
Oh, thank you. God thank bless you. Now you're making thank me you. Cry. Thank you, girls. Jesus, again, we know that you said when two or more are there in your name, you're there with us. So we know you're here with us, Jesus. And we hope that you bless us all. And we hope that you let us all know how much you love us, because we do know you love us. How could you not love us? You love us and you come to serve us. And aren't we so blessed and aren't we so lucky? So lucky to have you, Jesus. And so now we're down to our last few minutes, and I would like to play Joan's last song, if that's possible, because it's a great song. Trevor?
Jesus, oh, what a beautiful name. Jesus, Jesus, forever will be the same.
I know.
Thank you, Joan, for your songs. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Rosemary.
Thank you for inviting me.
Marion.
Oh, thank you for having us.
We love you.
We love you.
Thank you, listeners. We love you so.
I know of a name, a beautiful name.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The stars glitter bright throughout that glad night, and angels praise God in heaven.
One of our listeners has sent a contribution
Jesus.
To the PR, and so I'm presenting it to you guys.
Thank you so much. Thank you so very much.
Jesus, forever will be the same.
From the heart of the Nautical Mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community.